almost, well, a month and 3 weeks going through Acts 2:38. And today we're going to keep going on through Acts 2:38. We've talked about repentance. We've talked about baptism. We've talked about the Holy Ghost. But this morning, I want to talk about, you know, a lot of times we talk about the Holy Ghost as a plan of salvation, that it is a part of salvation. And this is true. We've gone through, we've worked our way through it for the past 2 weeks. Everywhere we talked about what the old prophets said about the Holy Ghost. We talked about what John the Baptist said about the Holy Ghost. We talked about all the scriptures that Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. And that was before we ever got to Acts 2:38. And then last week, we worked our way through Acts in the New Testament, talking about what the Bible says about the Holy Ghost and talking about receiving the Holy Ghost, talking about being a part of what God wants to do in your life, that He desires for you to receive it. He looked at the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command that He gave them. And so it is a part of our salvation plan. But today I want to talk about the benefits of having the Holy Ghost. That it's not, a lot of times as Pentecostals, we view it as just a part of the salvation plan. That you've got to receive the Holy Ghost. And then after we receive it, it's kind of like, well, all right, we finished that step and we're good. But the scripture begins, well, we're going to read a bunch of scriptures today where we go through the Bible of things that the Holy Ghost did in people's lives. That it's not just a part of salvation, but it is a help. That it is something that God can use. We sing a song about God holding our hand and leading us and guiding us. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about what the Holy Ghost does in our lives and can do in our lives. I think sometimes we neglect the power of the Holy Ghost. We neglect what it is that God could really be doing in our lives because we just view it as a part of the salvation plan. But God's saying, you don't understand, there is more to this Holy Ghost than just receiving it as a part of salvation. Amen? It says in Acts, we read it, we talked about it in Acts 2:38, but John 3:5, Jesus says, looks at Nicodemus and says, "And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Not maybe born again, not halfway, but ye must be born again. John 16 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." We know that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. See, we've got to understand that there's something powerful about the Holy Ghost. When Jesus turned and he looked at the disciples, he told them to go to the upper room. And he had talked to them about receiving the Holy Ghost. He had spent many times talking about receiving the Spirit. Not only am I with you, but I'm going to be in you. He had walked the line with them and talked to them and taught them about it. But they still fully didn't understand. And in their minds, as a Jew, they were saved. In their minds as a Jew, they were all right. They didn't need a Savior in a spiritual sense. They needed somebody to save them from Rome. They needed somebody to deliver them from the Roman Empire. They didn't need somebody to save their souls because they were already saved, they felt like. So when Jesus began to tell them as he was about to leave this earth, he began to look at them and talk to them about going to Jerusalem. He began to tell them that you go and tarry there until the Holy Ghost has fallen upon you. He used words like, "Ye shall receive power from upon high." He entertained the thought that there was more to this Holy Ghost than just the salvation plan. They already thought they were saved. He needed something a little bit more to get them to understand what was going on. See, some of us, we ought to understand, you know what? Well, I don't know if it's all that big of a deal, but what about all the benefits that it can bring to your life? Well, I don't know if I really need it. Well, when we get done here today, I want you to think about all of the benefits that it could add to your life, the things that it could bring to your life, the joy, the peace, the comfort. And so there's something powerful about it. We've got to build a temple. The scripture talks about in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. What, he says, is a question. What? He says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is you, which ye have of God, that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all building fitly framed together groweth into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. That we are apart with the scripture, we're not just a temple built with hands, that this is the church, this is where we gather together. But when God fills us full of his Spirit, that's where he desires to dwell. That is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why in 1 Corinthians he would say that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, that we are to give ourselves to him, that we are bought with a price. And in order to create something that is worth living in order, we've got to understand that we've got to, not only, it's not just to be filled full of the Holy Ghost, but now that I'm full of the Holy Ghost, I need to change and try to become more like him. That I've got to begin to work on me. I've got to begin to work on Jared to try to begin to try to make me more like him. That it's not just enough to be full of his Spirit, but now I need to allow the Spirit to begin to change me and to conform me and to make me into somebody that he would be proud of, somebody that he would love, that he could use for the glory of his kingdom. A lot of times we think we've got to get good to get God. No, we can't get good until we get God. We can't be all that until we get God living on the inside of us. We've got to get God on the inside of us and working in us and through us. He looked at him in Acts 1 and 8 and he says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto men, it says, unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He looked at them and told them that when they went to the upper room that day, when the disciples gathered together there, all 120 of them, and they began to pray, they knew that something was going to happen, that God had spoken to their lives and said that I'm going to fill you full of my power. He made statements like, greater signs than these shall you do. That they understood that there was something about what God was about to do, that not only was it about some kind of plan that he had given them, but there was going to be power that was inserted into their lives, and that there was going to be something that would change about them. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, know unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That there is a power that is created, that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that it's not just a part of the salvation plan, but there is power that is infused into our lives. You've got to understand that when you pray, there's something powerful about it. That when you step onto your job, you've got to understand that you might be the only person on your job that has the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. That there's something powerful about God being in you. A lot of times we don't think about it. It's just, oh, well, I received the Holy Ghost. No, the scripture says you received power from upon high. That is power to bind devils and demons. That is power to speak things into existence. That is power to lay hands on your sick babies and pray for them, believing that they are going to be healed. That there is a power that comes with it. That it's not just a part of the salvation plan, but there is a power that God infuses into your life at that moment in time. What was awesome about it is Peter showed up looking for power. He'll take us however we are. He'll take us in whatever avenue of life that we're in. He'll take us in whatever mindset that we're in. And when he filled him full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he came to the realization that it wasn't just about power, but it was about salvation. And when he stood and he looked at the multitude of 3,000, he didn't even bring up power anymore. He began to tell them, repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He had heard about something awesome that he could receive that day, that power was going to be infused into his life. And after he received it, all of a sudden he realized, you know what? This is awesome. This is great. And everybody needs this. This wasn't just something that Jesus was just kind of talking about. See, Jesus will take you wherever you're at. We talked about it Wednesday night. Every one of those disciples, they thought they were going to get big chariots and they were going to work in the throne room and they were going to be big friends with important people. That they didn't understand what Jesus was really doing on this earth. But Jesus took them exactly where they were at. And as they begin to move and grow towards him, their lives begin to change. Their dreams begin to change. The things that they thought they wanted begin to change. The things that used to make them happy no longer made them happy anymore. The big chariots and the big house on the hill wasn't that big of a deal. The thought of getting in a boat and going to another city and standing before a crowd and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ became something that began to grip their hearts. When they came to the realization that there was so much more to this life than what they thought that it was going to be. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 11, it says, for that man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. It's saying that no man can fully understand God. No man can wrap their mind around God, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. What is that? We're talking about the Holy Ghost. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing the scriptural things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are, because they are spiritually discerned. There's something about when you receive the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that there is a spiritual side of you that is awakened. There's a sensitivity to the things of God that were different than before you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That there's something about it. The scripture says that your natural man can't pertain it. It can't wrap its mind around it. It seems foolish. When we begin to talk about receiving the Holy Ghost, it just sounds weird and doesn't, what are you talking about? I don't understand it. For somebody that's never been around it, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. But after you've received it, there's something about it, that there's something that God has done in our lives. That the scripture says that with the Holy Ghost, with his Spirit in us, it said here that he can speak to us. And that in 1 John 2 and 20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye know all things. That when you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've got to understand that there's something about it that God can speak into our lives in a different kind of way. Sometimes we don't even pay attention to it. It's just something we don't even comprehend or even think about. We don't even listen to it. When you feel something, when you something is not right in your spirit, you need to sit up and take notice. When there's something not right in your spirit, I don't care if you're buying a car or you're trying to figure out which job you're fixing to take. I don't care if you're on the phone with somebody or you're talking to somebody and there's something that's just uneasy inside of you. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't discard all of that stuff. You need to understand that God can speak into your world at that moment and at that time. And you've got to understand, and wait a minute, what's happening here? What's going on at this moment in time? time. I had a young man, we were in a church service, and he came to me after church and he was weeping and crying. He said, God told me to tell this young lady something and I didn't do it. And he said, I feel like I failed. I said, do you remember the feeling that you feel right now? He says, yes. He said, I hate it. I said, don't forget it. I said, because next time when you feel the exact feeling that you felt before, I want you to remember, you know what? I thought this was just me. I thought it was just flesh. I thought it was just something silly, but I knew that when it was over that it was God. And you've got to take hold of that thing and begin to realize, you know what? God's trying to speak into my life. God's trying to do something here at this moment in time. That there are moments in time that God will try to infuse things into you to protect you, keep you, watch over you, do something special for you, mark something in your life that you need to stay away from, mark a certain individual or something that's going on, and we just kind of pass it by like it's no big deal. But the scripture says that he'll speak in knowledge into your spirit, that he'll speak things that you shouldn't understand, that you wouldn't know just knowing. But when you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that God can speak to you in a way that he's never spoken to you before, that he can do things in your life that he's never done before. It wasn't long ago I got a call. Somebody messaged me, and I thought it was innocent, and it was back and forth. It was somebody I've known since I was a child, and we went back and forth, and this restaurant had closed, and it was a sad day, and I went and I ordered all of my favorite entrees the last time I was in town, and sat there and ate for 2 hours, and because I knew it was closing down, and it was an innocent conversation, and all of a sudden, it was like God all of a sudden reached down, and there was just something inside that said, mm-mm, something's not right. Something. This is not an innocent conversation. And I was done. Deleted it over, finished, nothing to do with it anymore. Told my wife about it. Nope. Something's not right here. Something's off. Something's weird. Come to find out, it was exactly what God was speaking into my spirit. There's something off about that person, that they cannot be trusted. They cannot. You got to keep an eye on them, that they are not to be trusted. And you've got to learn to understand when God's trying to speak to you, when God's trying to do something for you, when God's trying to protect you. In Galatians 4 and 5, it says, to the redeemed, that they were under the law, they might receive the adoption of sons. We've already talked about it being made salvation, that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we are adopted as sons unto him. But it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, it says, but we have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding, it says, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That we are troubled on every side and not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. He's saying that there is a treasure in earthen vessels, that you've got to understand that there is an excellency of the power that is inside of us, and that it is of God and not of us. So we can live in peace, that it doesn't matter that we might be troubled on every side, that we might be distressed, that we might be perplexed, that we might be despaired, that we might be persecuted, that we feel like that we're forsaken and even cast down. But God says, in the midst of your trouble, I can bring peace into it, because there is power in this earthen vessel, that the enemy says that it might be destroyed, it might be cast down, it might be destroyed, but you don't understand what's inside of you. It's not of you, it is of him. That it's not just something simple, it's not just something that we did, but there is a power that is in the inside of us, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that we can stand. And even though it might feel like our world is crumbling, you know what? I've got God living on the inside of me. I've got a power inside of me in earthen vessels. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You don't understand what you're messing with. You don't understand that I'm a child of the King. You don't understand that I've been adopted into his bloodline. And he will never leave me nor forsake me. That's something powerful about the Holy Ghost. The scripture says that you've got to understand that when there's trouble on every side, he wants you to remember, don't worry, I'm inside of you. When you're distressed, when there is no peace, when it feels like your world is pulling apart, he says, hey, there's treasure in earthen vessels, and it's not about you, it's about me. I'm there. It's not about your power. When I am weak, he is strong. When we come to the realization and understand that even though it feels like everything might be crumbling, God says, hey, there's power in earthen vessels, and it's not your power, it's my power that I've placed inside of you. There's something powerful about the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that there are places and time that you can be in your prayer room, and there's, you don't know what to pray about, and near the situation is overwhelming. You can't make sense of it all. And the word of God says in Romans, as Paul wrote, if you would just begin to speak in tongues, that it's not just a part of the salvation plan, but it is something that God has given you, that you may not know what to even pray about. Your family's falling apart and you can't even put the words together to make it make sense. You don't even know what to pray about. You don't understand why the situation is crumbling in front of you. And God says, I want you to just sit back and begin to pray, and you let me do something about it. You let my Spirit flow through you. That power that I placed inside of you, that all of a sudden it would begin to speak to the situation and to the problem. I told a story a couple of weeks ago about Brother Cisco was preaching in a church not long ago, and a young lady came to the front, and he didn't know her, never seen her before in his life. God wasn't dealing with him about her. He wasn't feeling anything about her, and she asked for prayer, and he reached down and put his hand on her head, and he began to just pray a simple prayer for her, and then he began to speak in tongues, and then he said a little bit more of a simple prayer for her, and then he began to speak in tongues again, and this just went on for a minute or so. It wasn't that big of a deal. He didn't feel any powerful unction. He didn't feel like God spoke to him to tell her anything. And after service, these three young ladies that were sitting on the second row came to him and said, you were speaking in Arabic. Do you know Arabic? He said, I don't know anything about Arabic. And they said, you were speaking in Arabic. Yeah. They said it was an older dialect than what our husbands speak. They were married to Arabic men and they were from that area of the world. And they said, we know, but there were some words that were a little bit different than what we know. We're going to go home and research it out, and we're going to tell you tonight what was said. They came back that night and they said that when you stood there, you begin to pray for her and you were just saying a simple prayer. But when you begin to speak in tongues, they said you called her name and you begin to name every problem that was going on in her life. And you ask God, God, you see her needs. Will you do something about it? You've got to understand that when you begin to pray about it, when you begin to allow the Holy Ghost to flow through you, it's not weird. It's not something different. It is a gift that God put inside of you. That if God brings somebody's name to your mind and you don't know what to say about it, God said, speak in tongues. You let me speak life into that situation. You let me use the power that I put inside of you to flow and to move into that person's life. That it's not just a part of the plan, but it is a gift that has been given to us that we can use every day of our lives. 1 John 2:20 says, but I have given you the unction of the Holy One that you may know all things. There's a spirit of discernment that is a part of it. A spirit of discernment that he places inside of us that we can feel and understand. I remember I was 13 years old and me and my father were laying carpet in a back room that we had just turned into a living area in the back of the house. And I remember my dad stood up and he walked across the room and he looked at me and he named the name of a young man in our church. And he said, he's gonna try to sell drugs to you here in the very near future. My dad is not a spiritual guru in the aspects of the gifts and everything. He's a praying man. He's a man that preaches the word. He's a man that is solid in every aspect of his life. But being used in the gifts is just not something that he does very often. It's just, and here I am as a 13-year-old boy, and he begins to tell me the name of the boy that was going to do it. He began to tell me what he was going to sell me that day, that week, and I'd already knew what was going on. I knew who it was going to be. I knew what he'd been trying to sell me, but now my dad was in prayer that morning, and God began to let him discern something that was going on in his son's life, that there was something that was happening, that he didn't know anything from Adam. This situation looked like a perfect situation, looked like a good church boy. Nobody knew what was going on under the ground levels of what everybody else could see, but God spoke into his life and helped him to lead and guide and try to direct, that there's something powerful about this thing that God has given us, that there's something about it that moves and flows in our lives, that we can't just neglect it and act like it's not there, that it was just something we did a long time ago, but it is something that God wants to use in our lives on a daily basis. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not into the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost." You say, "Well, I can't teach a Bible study." If you'll step out in faith, God will go with you. We sing about God holding our hand. If somebody on your job asks you a question, and sometimes our first reaction is to jump back in fear. Oh, I don't know if I can answer that just right. I don't know if I have. Next time somebody asks you a question, you need to pray in your mind, "God, I ask you right now that you would anoint me and that you would give me the words to speak into this person's life, that God, you would help." You don't know how many times somebody had a question and they asked, and I sat there and said, "Oh, this is going to be a tough one." And in my mind, I would begin to pray, "God, you've got to help me." And all of a sudden, it was like I felt the anointing when I'm preaching, that it would sweep over me, and I'd get goosebumps on my arms. And all of a sudden, God would begin to give me the words to say into that situation. Tears would begin to run down their face, not because of me, but because of the Holy Ghost that God placed inside of me. That one day I lifted my hands and asked him to fill me full of his spirit, and he used, and all of a sudden, he gave me words that weren't my words. I didn't have any thought about it. I didn't have a clue what I was going to say to this person, but all of a sudden he began to use me to speak into that person's life. And it wasn't just me talking to them. It wasn't just some kind of nice little word that was being said, but they knew that God was there. They could feel the presence of God as we begin to talk, and his spirit began to move and flow. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." Here we are again. Don't be afraid, because you've been adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't live in a spirit of fear, because you've been received by the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit itself beareth witness with you, to your spirit, that ye are the children of God. There's something about this that it says the Spirit itself beareth witness. That God can beareth witness unto things in your life, that you can feel his Spirit, that he can lead you and guide you in certain situations. If I've got two major situations going on in my life, and I'm praying about it and I'm asking God to move on the situation, and I don't want to make the wrong situation. I know what making a wrong situation is like. And so I'll ask him, "God, you've got to lead me and guide me. You've got to let your Spirit bear witness with mine that I'm making the right decision. What's going on here?" And I'll do things as simple as sitting down and I'll do, God, this door has been opened unto me, oh God, and I'll name what the situation is. And God, should I walk through that door? Is that what you want me to do? And then I'll name the other situation. God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk through this door. How do you feel about that? What do you think about it? And it's amazing to me that one situation, when I bring it up and I begin to talk about walking through that door and asking God how he feels about it, there's something that just feels uneasy about it. It just that door just doesn't feel. And when I begin to ask God and pray about, hey, God, and I'll talk to him like, that's what I'm about to do. God, I'm about to make this decision. This is what I'm about to do. I'm going to walk through this door. What do you think about it? And there's been, I can't tell you how many times as I would lay it out there, and one of those doors, as I would begin to talk about it, there would be an uneasiness that would begin to come over me. There would be something inside that was like, that don't feel just. But when I would begin to talk about walking through the other door, there was a peace about it. It felt like everything was all right. It felt like that it was going to be okay. Yeah, you've got to understand that his spirit will bear witness unto you, that he will lead you and guide you. I don't care. I've prayed about, God, is this the right car for me to buy? You can buy a lemon. You can buy something that was in a flood. You can buy something that's rusted from the inside out and you can't see it and you don't have the eye for it. But I've prayed over my cars that I bought. God, is this going to be a good car? Is this going to be, is it all right? Should I buy? There was one car when I bought it, I felt so uneasy about it, but it was such a good deal and I was so excited about it. It was beautiful and it was awesome, and it lasted about 2 years. I still had a bunch of debt left on it. It was burning a quart of oil. I couldn't drive an hour without pouring an entire quart of oil in it. I had it in the shop for 3 months. Nobody could figure it out. The thing had a devil, and I should have listened, but it was too good. It was too awesome. I just pushed on through and I did what I wanted to do. Let God speak to you. Don't be afraid to ask him for you. I don't care how simple your situation is. I don't care how big your situation is. The scripture says, cast your cares upon him. That's the big ones and that's the little ones. I don't care if it's something as small as just something little in your life. God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to put my children in school? Where do you want me to work? What do you want me to ask God those questions? Because he'll lead you to the right job. He'll help you put your children in the right place. He'll help you make the right decisions with your money and your finances, but you've got to ask him and sincerely try to find what it is that God wants to do in your life. Talks about guidance. 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, 4, so much as we are manifested directly to be the apostles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but with fleshly tables of our heart. That he can guide us. If you've got something in your life that you're not quite sure about, if you've got something in your life that everybody around you is doing it and it seems like okay, but there's something inside of you that just, I don't know. I can push through, and you can ask God, God, if this is wrong in my life, convict me. Show me the things that are wrong. Help me to change, oh God. Lead me and guide me, oh God. If this is what you want me to do, God, I'm asking you to speak into my heart. I'm asking you to write these things inside of me that you can change me and help me to become more like you, that you can lead me in the path. I want to be saved, and if there's something in my life that's not right, God, I want you to not just give it to just somebody. I want you to put it inside of me that it's wrong when I do it. I want it to feel bad about it. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that this is something that I need to remove out of my life. There are convictions that I have in my life that you'll never hear me preach about to you, because they are not heaven or hell issues for anybody else in this room, but they are convictions that God has placed in my life of things that are for me, of things and barriers that are going on in my world, of places that I do not go. Maybe they're not a sin. Maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe you can do it. But in my world, I've asked God, if it's wrong, I want you to put something inside of me. I want you to write it on my heart and in my soul that keeps me from doing something dumb. I don't care if it doesn't say that it's wrong in your word. If it's wrong for me, let me know. Write it on my heart. Give me a conviction inside of me. Acts 13 and 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, What said the Holy Ghost? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Acts 13:3 says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They prayed for them, and Barnabas and Paul, they left them. So being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. That they left there because the Holy Ghost sent them. You want to know the will of God for your life? You start asking God, God, I want to know your will for my life. And when you start praying, God, I want to know your will for my life, you better be open to whatever it is that God wants to do in your life. God, if you want me to teach a Sunday school class, God, start dealing with me about teaching a Sunday school class. If you want me to start getting up at 7 o'clock every morning before work and going to the church and praying, God, I want your will for my life. He will lead you and guide you. He doesn't want to see you walk through the wrong door. He doesn't want to see you get hurt or destroyed. He'll lead you where you need to be. He'll lead you to where you'll find the most joy and the most peace in your life. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communication of the Holy Ghost. What? That there's a communication of the Holy Ghost with you all. You read it in the Amplified Version. It says, grace and favor and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and the fellowship, the communion and the sharing together and the participation in the Holy Ghost be in you all. What? The participation of the Holy Ghost, the sharing together, the communion, the presence of fellowship in the Holy Ghost. That there's something powerful about the Holy Ghost. I'm done. I'm out of time. I'll finish next Sunday. But there's something powerful about allowing God to be God in our lives. That thing that you received at an altar, it might have been 50 or 60 years ago. It might have been 2 years ago. It might have been 10 years ago. I don't care when it is. It's not just something that God gave you, that it is a gift that God wants to walk with you. He wants to lead you and guide you. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to help you make the right decisions for your life and for your children. That it's not just some little part of your life, but God says, you don't understand. Not only am I going to be you, I was with you, but now I'm going to be in you. And if I'm going to be in you, I might as well be a blessing to your life. And if you'll let me, I'll lead you and guide you. I'll hold your hand. I'll walk you through some of the darkest places you've ever been. I'll give you peace when the world says there is no peace. I'll give you direction when you can't make up your mind all by yourself. Something powerful about this gift. This gift that God has given us. Don't be afraid to let it flow. Don't be afraid to let it move. Don't let it be afraid. The scripture said, as Paul wrote to Timothy, neglect not the gifts that are inside of you. He was talking about the different gifts, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, healing, and miracles. But so often we neglect the gift that God has already given us on the inside of us. The gift of the Holy Ghost, the power that abideth to usward, the power that is inside of us, that it is not just something that we've done, but it is something that lives on the inside of us. And we've got to understand, God, lead me and guide me, stir me, help me to make the right decisions, help me to make the right paths, help me to follow after you, help me, God, to be what it is that you want me to be. Lead me and guide me, give me the words to say, help me to know what to pray about. Use me, oh God, in your gifts, that your spirit would move and flow in my life. And if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I talk about people talking about being anointed. The scripture says in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you hath received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. If you've been filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're already anointed of God. So step out and let God use you. If his spirit already dwells on the inside of you, don't be afraid to call out giants in your life, because you're anointed of God. Don't be afraid to step out and be a part of a ministry, because he said the anointing already abideth inside of you. Don't be afraid to get up and be a part of the choir. Don't be afraid of a Sunday school class or a bus ministry or speaking to somebody on your job, because if you've been filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are anointed of God. You are anointed of God. Well, I don't feel anointed. How about you step out? I don't know if it's on me. I don't understand it. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Well, yeah, I've got the Holy Ghost. Then you're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. You're anointed. Oh, well, I don't feel it. Step out and see what God will do. Step out and see what God will do. Step out and see what God will do. Step out and see. When you begin to stir that gift up, God says, yep, I'm here. I'm ready. I'll help you. I'll bless you. I'll give you strength. I'll give you faith when you can't have faith. I'll use you when you don't feel like you can be used. I'll do something awesome and powerful in your life. Lord Jesus, help us not to neglect the gift that is inside of us, oh God. Lord, that this is something that you've placed on the inside of us, oh God, to give us strength, to help us, to lead us, and to guide us. That it wasn't just a part of the process, how great and awesome that process is, but God, the day that we were filled full of your spirit wasn't our final day, but you filled us full of your power to help make us into your likeness. That we are changed from glory to glory. That your anointing would move and flow on the inside of us, that you would change us, that you would use us, that we would know that we are anointed and called of you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Whew. It's a gift. Use it. It's a gift. Ask him to help you. It's a gift. It's not just something that's just there and it was a one-time deal. No, it's a part of our lives. In Jesus' name. Whew. Got a little preach on me this morning. Brother Willis is preaching in the next service, so I had to get it out of my system this morning. And amen, amen. We'll be using the young men in this church that feel called of God in this church, because when God takes them and you puts them into their place that God wants to use them, I want them to be able to leave here and know that they have every tool that they need to step into the next place in life. So we're going to be a church that uses young men. We're going to be a church that gets behind our young men. We're going to be a church, if we have a young man that feels a call of God, that we're not going to be a church that holds them, but we're going to be a church that prays and helps them and leads them and guides them, that when they come to a place that God's ready for them to step out and to be everything that God's called them to be, that they'll know that they can leave this place knowing that they can do what it is that God has called them to do. We're going to be a friend to the young preachers of the United Pentecostal Church. We're going to be a friend to young men, that we can lift them up and help them to step into the next steps and the next places in their life. Amen. That's the kind of church that we're going to be. And we're going to use the men of God. We've got young men in our church that have felt a call to preach, young men that are in high school that are feeling a call to preach. And we're going to use them in this church, because we're going to raise up young men that are going to step out and pastor churches one day. Young men that are going to have great revival, and they're going to be birthed out of this church and out of this place. Amen? Hallelujah. We got a couple of minutes. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back in and have church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.